Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Neil.
Welcome to Music Among Other Things, or MEOT for short, where we chat to musicians and creators about music and the worlds that orbit it. And today, we're going to be doing the first of a two-parter on people who have made it off of their own backs and really done it themselves. The first of which is going to be Uwade, who made her name doing covers on YouTube and Instagram, but actually ended up performing on the Fleet Foxes record that came out last year called Sure. And there's loads to unpack with her, Neil, I think, because she's really somebody that's just put herself out there. And we'll hear more about the story about how she ended up on a record. But, you know, it's just one of those cases where somebody puts themselves out there and they actually end up doing the thing that they're trying to set out to do as well.
Yeah.
So loads to talk to her about, I think.
Yeah, from what I've read, it sounds like an amazing story. Just, it's one that we all dream of in terms of, like,
yeah,
we've all put like a, you know, anyone into music, we've all put like a cover or something on YouTube and stuff. But no, her voice deserves to be recognized. She's got an absolute stunning voice. So no,
yeah,
be really, really interested to hear her story in detail.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. She's got a beautiful voice. She's also got some tracks out as well, some originals. The Man Who Sees Tomorrow, which is out everywhere on all the streaming services, and I'll put a link to it in the description as well. Have you ever posted any covers yourself, Neil?
I may have posted a cover of me playing Let Her Go by Passenger. I can't remember, if I sang or not, but I've done a few things on Instagram. I think I've done something on YouTube when I was younger, but
yeah,
maybe I deleted that before I ever entered the world of this podcast.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's a load of videos of us. I think we spoke about it on the MCR episode, the emo one we did. And there's a load of videos of me and my mates at school performing as My Chemical Romance stuff. And Mike Rowley, who owns a YouTube account with all this stuff on, has forgotten his password or something. So he doesn't have access to this thing anymore. And he's just sat there. And even though you would have to really dive deep and do some deep research into getting it, it's still there. Do you know what I mean? So there's still the prospect that one day, you know, my grandchildren will come to me and say, "Granddad, what the fuck are you doing right here?" But yeah, that's quite a sort of terrifying thing. But luckily for Uwade, she's got a beautiful voice and she's done some amazing covers of loads of people, from The Strokes to Brittany Howard. Loads of different artists. So
there's Coldplay's that really got me into her voice. I think she did Strawberry Swing, which is one of my favourite Coldplay songs. Stunning cover. But it's one of those, I think she kind of gives you like little snippets and teases you of like a minute of the song, and I'm like, give me a whole cover. I think literally all the comments are like, please do a whole version of this, please. But no.
She did a full version of Featherweight, which is on the Fleet Foxes record, and that's on YouTube. I linked that as well because that's one of my favourite tunes on the record, and she does a really amazing job of it as well. So yeah, looking forward to getting to this chat. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Is it your birthday yesterday?
It was, yes. 22.
Wow. Man, we spoke to a journalist a few weeks ago on like an Arctic Monkeys special, and she's like 20, we're like 27, 28 now, so we're feeling the age. Having all these talented people on.
It's like the first time in like the last 6 months, or like the last 6 months has been the first time in my life where I've started to feel old. I don't know if it's the same as you. I never thought I'd get to that point, but there's just a few things now. I'll see adverts, so I'll be like, oh, what are the kids doing these days? It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally is like that, isn't it? Did you go out too much for your birthday then, or as much as you can do in these
just
times?
Just went out to eat, relaxed with mom. Not much. I just think I needed to kind of rest because the past few months have been very stressful with graduation and whatnot, but it was good.
Oh, right. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So graduation as well as turning 22. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. In a matter of days.
Oh, wow.
What did you graduate in?
I graduated from college, from uni, as you say.
Yeah.
On April 30th, and I got back home May 1st. So,
wow,
nice. But what were you studying?
Classics.
Oh, right. Yeah. What, this might seem like a dumb question, but what does that entail?
Yes, it's such a, the name just really doesn't give much information about what it is. But I basically studied Latin and Greek, plus history, culture, literature of ancient Rome and Greece. So.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you're clever then.
some might say. I don't know all the time, but maybe.
You might have to lower your IQ as you're talking to me and Neil.
Especially me.
But yeah, thank you so much for joining. I mean, we're doing this episode on how people become the sort of real deal off their own bats and putting their own talent out there. And I think your story of how you got involved in the Fleet Foxes record and started your own thing, and you know, you're just graduating, which is crazy, is really fascinating. But I mean, first of all, I mean, how did you sort of get into music in the first place, and when did you start playing and singing yourself?
Well, yeah, I've been singing since like third grade, since I was very little, just in choirs and whatnot. And I taught myself, well, I say I taught myself, I tried to teach myself how to play the guitar in middle school. And then once I got to bar chords, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I just stopped. Like, I would never play any bar chords. And then eventually late high school, early college, I was like, okay, I have to actually kind of learn how to play. So I continued, and then in college I did a cappella, so I got to sing quite a bit, but didn't really start doing my own, writing my own music until a few years ago. So yeah, so it's been music has always been a part of my life, but kind of started taking it more seriously in the past few years, obviously.
Have you been sort of performing as well for quite some time, or is that something you've been doing more recently?
I'd say more recently. I've performed in other capacities, but not with music until I only played my own, like my first little gig like last year. So really haven't done much musical performance, but I did like theater and
oh, nice.
And then a cappella in college is like a sort of like performance of its own. So I'm sort of used to singing in public, but still haven't, you know, COVID kind of just, you know, made everything stop. And so I haven't really been able to do much live performance.
And where was the, what sort of gig was it you played last year? Was that a, you know, was that like something maybe at your uni or something? Or was it like a sort of a bigger affair?
Yeah, it was. It was in one of my friends, I was studying abroad, and one of my friends was a musician, and he needed someone to like support his gigs. He basically wanted me to like play along with him, so I did. And that was just kind of like at a cool refurbished church. It was like an abandoned church,
and
it's now a performance venue, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was really cool.
Amazing.
Really cool.
And so at what point did you start posting your covers online? Because I know that got you a lot of attention, and you've covered a range of artists from like Brittany Howard through to the Strokes and Mitski and Billy Joel. But when did you start doing that? Because you know, you write some, or you sing some really beautiful covers of you know, songs that I love as well. But yeah, when did that start?
That started in the fall of 2018, I believe. So yeah, just about 2 years, 2.5 years ago or so. So pretty recent. Everything is happened in like the last three years, which is
I've listened to Strawberries, your cover of Strawberry Swing, about 10 times in the last 24 hours.
thank you
so good. Yeah, you got a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And it seems like you're I've seen you've done like a lot of Strokes covers, so is it safe to say that you're a proper fan?
I am a huge fan. I definitely love them. I tried to see them in London, I think, last year, and then I didn't get a ticket, and I was just absolutely devastated because I was sitting on my computer refreshing, and
they were playing like the Roundhouse or something, weren't
yes,
they? I think
yes,
I was doing exactly the same thing as you at work, just
so painful.
F5-ing.
Yeah, but I love the Strokes.
Sean's without doubt the flukiest person I know at getting gig tickets, and I swear we've gone for Glastonbury tickets like 7 years running, and you've got it most years, and I've never got one.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, yeah, the Glastonbury thing is like, I don't know if you ever apply for tickets or anything, but it's a nightmare. It's literally like a lottery.
It's
yeah.
actually horrible. Gives you anxiety for about 48 hours leading up to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, so many people saw. I think like 2 million people apply, but there's only like 200,000 tickets. So, you know, there's a lot of people getting disappointed. But it's amazing if you ever get a chance to go. But sort of Neil has cursed my name every year. Well, so you were in London. Is that on like a holiday or is it visiting over here?
This is when I was, I studied abroad last year.
Right.
I was at Oxford for a year. And so I Amazing. Just tried to go places and go to concerts and see things while I was
nice.
In the European area.
So. What did you make of London?
I actually didn't go to London that often, sadly, because I don't know why. I just, so many people, I also thought that I would have more time because I was supposed to be there for the full year, but then, you know, in March, you know, everything shut down. So I thought, I would spend summertime in London and enjoy myself. But I went to a Vampire Weekend concert at Alexandra Palace.
Oh, I went to one of those as well. Yeah. Now, that was an amazing gig, I thought. And I was curious because obviously, you know, you post like a wide variety of covers, but I'm wondering, you know, how your taste of it, was that something you found on your own or did you have like an older sibling who put you onto this stuff?
No, I didn't. I'm an only child, so. Yeah, and my parents, they are musical people, but they don't really like, I don't know, it's so weird. I'll be listening to this song from the 70s and my mom will be like, oh, I love that song. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me you love, like, why aren't you like giving me this information? I need to know. So I really have sort of crafted my music taste for my friends. And then also, obviously, we live in the age of algorithms and you know, websites creating your taste for you, which is, I have fallen prey to a bit, you know.
Okay.
No shame in that. So, yeah.
Oh, my dad had a tendency to do that. He was into his like sort of disco in the 70s, and every now and then he'd just show me a track, and I'm like, "Well, you play is like Mr. Blue Sky by ELO every day. Why haven't you shown me this before?" Show me some like great Herbie Hancock song or something. It's great.
It's funny you say that about Mr. Blue Sky. That was literally the first thing when I ever met him. He played on his jukebox in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah,
he put out about the 50 songs he put on Mr. Blue Sky. So. It's not an exaggeration.
Tell us about how you got involved in this Fleet Foxes record, sure, because I believe it started with a Fleet Foxes cover that you posted. Is that right?
Yes, it did. I was very, very lucky because I had been posting covers, and then this guy, John Seal, he goes by Son of Cloud. He's a musician. He started following me and he was like, became an internet friend, and he happened to be in New York when I was there. So I went to visit him at some point, and so we became friends. And then I studied abroad, and I posted a cover of this, the Fleet Foxes song of Mykonos, and he actually sent it to Robin because I think he'd worked with him before. And so from that, Robin was like, oh, like, I'd love to have you on the album in some way. Like, where will you be at this point? And I was like, oh, this is insane. I thought I wasn't going to be in New York because he said he was recording in New York. But then it just so happened that he was in Paris when I was in London, in the UK at least. And so just worked out. It was
What is literally your reaction when you find that out? Cause you must just, your thoughts must be racing in the future as well. Be like, is this it? Like, is it starting? You know, that's huge.
I didn't know what to think because I was at this point, I was like in a school setting. Like I was on another study abroad program and I was kind of working and we were traveling and going on like field excursions or whatever. So I was, you know, and not all my friends knew who Fleet Foxes were. So I was kind of freaking out on my own and they were like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, yeah, this is incredible.
It's huge.
So I was like, I guess I'll just kind of, you know, put it aside in my mind for a while, and then like one weekend I just had to go to France, and my friends were like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm just taking a day trip, you know, yeah. Gonna go see the Eiffel Tower or something." It's very low key.
Oh, that's amazing! That's crazy. I was wondering whether, yeah, you had the chance to actually do it together in a studio, or whether it was like socially, or it was you know, in your own home or whatever. But you know, what was it like? You know, working with him in the studio, was it like your first time in a sort of environment like that, or what was your sort of reaction to the day anyway?
I mean, pretty much. I had been in the studio once before to record one of my own songs, but this was like my first like big studio with like 10 guitars and like 6 basses and grand piano. Like it was beautiful. And I mean, he's so kind, and like, I didn't feel any sort of, I was starstruck obviously, but I didn't feel afraid or like insecure or intimidated or anything. Cause he's just like, "I'm so glad you're here." And I was like, "I'm so glad I'm here." Like, it was just great. Yeah. He's very, very, very generous.
Awesome. It sounds quite down to earth sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not only are you on the record, but you're the first voice on track one, Wade in Waist High Water. And, I mean, as it was released as a surprise album as well, there was, like, no promo singles. You really would have been, like, the first voice that all these people heard when they were, like, looking forward to the new Fleet Foxes record. Did you know that it was going to be, you were going to be on, like, track one, moment one, ahead of time, or was it like a shock for you on release day?
I had no idea. I found out about like a little less than a year later, maybe in like the summer of 2020, and I couldn't believe it. I sort of didn't even think that it was real until I listened to the album, and I was like, okay, so this is really the first song. I'm like actually the first person on the record, which is, again, when I say generous, I mean he is so generous. Because who does that? I don't know if I've heard of another musician who's just been like, "Here's another person. It's not me, and I'm just gonna give them a song to sing."
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Incredible. I was saying to Shaw, because we always come on this about 5 minutes before just to prep with Mike, hence why mine wasn't working for some reason. And I just came on humming the song. I didn't even realize, like, and we were just, it's so addictive. It's just in your head. It's just so nice to hum.
Yeah. No, it's great. So, and you're also on a few other tracks. I think it's like backing vocals, like Can I Believe You in the title track? Mm-hmm. I think it was as well. But yeah, I take it, you know, something like being on the Fleet Foxes record like opens doors and has been able, you know, enabled you to, you know, release your own stuff. I mean, have you been working on anything else, or has it sort of been pure like graduation time in the run-up to graduating anyway?
It's sort of been graduation time, because I released the two songs, The Man Who Sees Tomorrow and then Lodare, which is a cover. And that was kind of pretty low-key, didn't take too much time, because I recorded some stuff last summer, and then I was able to just go record at Electric Lady because I was in New York at the time. So,
oh, amazing.
It was amazing, but it just kind of happened naturally. But I do plan, hopefully this summer, to record a few more things, to get a few more songs out there. But yeah, not too much time for any super long studio sessions.
Definitely. It'd be great to get into you know, how, you know, the man who came to, the man who sees tomorrow, and is it Lodare? Is that how I'm saying it right?
Lodare. It's in the Edo language, which is my family's like dialect, my family's language.
Oh, amazing.
Lodare. So basically, gotcha. Pretend that the R, but like the R-O-R-E, the first R, isn't there.
Okay. I was obviously aware of you via the Fleet Foxes record and saw you brought out a new track. And I usually save my songs to a playlist, the songs I want to listen to. And then I listen to it while I'm cleaning or something. And then I think when I heard The Man Who Sees Tomorrow, it was sort of like a real moment as I was sort of, you know, scrubbing my bathroom or something. I had to stop for a minute, but it's a beautiful, beautiful song. But, you know, I think not only is it, you know, really immaculately crafted from a songwriting perspective, but it sounds great as well. But yeah, it'd be great to hear about how the ideas for that came together. I take it, you know, I think if you, when you're covering songs, you sort of absorb all these, the way that chords move or the way that people use melody. And you can obviously, you know, that makes great foundation for a songwriter yourself as well.
Yeah. The Man Who Sees Tomorrow. So that song, sort of the bones of the song, the, as in like the chords and sort of the melody, came together right after I had to come home because of COVID. So I started kind of writing this song that I felt was going to be about loss and like the collective loss that we were just entering into as an entire world, basically. And then after, so I had part of the song written, and it was just sort of vague, but also kind of specific to my own feelings. And then after my dad passed away in August, I had booked like studio time, in the summer, just because I wanted to record a couple more songs. And I just decided like, oh, this is the song that I'm going to like kind of dedicate to him. And so it became much more specific and much more of like an ode to my dad. And yeah, so it sort of has two sides, of one of personal loss and one of kind of general collective loss, and it just kind of came together over a summer.
It's a beautiful song, really beautiful song. I mean, it'd be great to hear more about, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation again. L'Adore?
Yeah, go ahead.
But like you mentioned, it was in, I think you said Edo is the language, right? It'd be great to know more about that, because, yeah, I mean, it sounds beautiful on the track. I mean, and as I understand it, it's sort of a traditional song. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that song, actually, I didn't know that it was a song that existed in the world until after my dad passed away, because he would sing it to me all the time in the car. And, you know, he was like the person who basically taught me how to sing, because so much of my musical upbringing was just like singing songs with him, singing hymns with him in the car, like him teaching me how to harmonize, all these fun things. And so that was just a song that he would always sing, and I never knew what it meant. I never knew what it was about. I didn't even know it existed. And then I just decided one day, like when I got back from Nigeria, I was like, okay, maybe I'll Google this song to see if I could, because I wanted to know what the lyrics were or see if I could find any information. And then I find out that it's by this artist that both of us loved, Sir Victor Iwifo. And I listened to it like over and over for like weeks, because I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cool, and it sounded so cool. The instrumentation on the recording is beautiful. So one day I just decided to post a cover of it, and a lot of Edo people in Nigeria, they reacted really well, because it's not like a song that's like on the radio there anymore. It's like very, very much like a throwback song, and a song that people haven't heard for a long time, let alone like a younger person singing the song. So I just thought that, you know, it has a beautiful meaning, and it meant a lot to my dad, so it meant a lot to me, and it means a lot to so many people where I'm from. And so I was like, this is kind of the perfect song to go along with it. And the message is also really beautiful, because it's like, it's about like familial but also just like communal help and communal like love and what it means to kind of like love your neighbor, and how our actions impact those around us, and it's just a beautiful song.
That's really amazing how that sort of you know, tied that loop, really.
Awesome.
What are your sort of plans, like looking forward now? Are you you know, are you writing at the minute?
Yes, always writing.
Nice. It's always weird once you graduate as well, you feel like, I don't know, I can't really remember what happened after we graduated, Neil, because we went to the same uni, me and Neil. But I just remember being in a strange headspace where I was like back home and I was like, what am I doing? I think I got like an internship or something. Yeah.
I moved straight to London, didn't I?
So oh yeah, that's right.
I had the worst job ever lined up in sales.
I actually did come across a bunch of songs I wrote at uni. I was like recovering my old hard drive recently. So it would have been when I was like 21 and I was like listening back to it. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, you've got it perfectly set up. So, you know, when you're our age, you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Very true.
But when you look back at, yeah, some of the stuff I wrote, I was like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I think I'm going to have to destroy it so nobody gets their hands on it. But
I only laugh because I can just imagine you find those songs because I probably heard them live at the time in like a spontaneous living room.
Yeah.
Pre-drinks and they were bad then, so can't imagine they age well.
No, they were not good. But Awadi, so thanks so much for joining us. You know, real pleasure having you on, telling your story. Yeah, and everybody's got to go check out the Man Who Sees Tomorrow, and I'm gonna get it right this time. Lodaure. Oh my God, how can I get that wrong 3 times? I'm so sorry. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So yeah, Neil, there it goes. Proves that you can actually end up on proper albums if you just put yourself out there.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing story. It really is. It's really great to know that these things do still happen whilst we live in such a world of, I don't know, TikTok crazes and stuff like this, that these random, you know, happenances can happen. It's a beautiful story.
I think it's also, because I always get worried in this day and age that the real talent is just going to get undiscovered because there's so much stuff out there clogging up the, because everybody with a laptop and a guitar or keyboard or whatever, they can put anything out there they want. So I do get worried that sometimes people are going to get buried, but it's great to see that artists can actually have that power where they can actually bring real great talent through. And I feel like Awadi's world musically has really opened up to that. So
yeah,
I'm going to look forward to seeing what she comes up with next. I hope there's a lot more to come.
And fair play from like Fleet Foxes as well to not only, you know, recognize that voice, but just actually have the bollocks of putting it on the first track. You know, they haven't released an album in a bit. The first track you hear is Uwade's voice, and that's pretty special. I mean, for her, obviously, we heard that she only found out pretty close to the album being released.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. Imagine finding out that you're on the like opening track of the new album. It's just, that's so ballsy from them, and I really respect that. So yeah, it shows how much they must love her as well, which obviously they do. So
yeah, exactly. Well, I'll leave some links to the music we spoke about in the podcast description. And yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast, do give us a review. We like the 5 stars if there's any of those. And then you can follow us on MEOT Pod on Twitter and Instagram. So check those out. Obviously, as we mentioned before, this is the first of a 2-parter. So do join us again next week, where we're going to be talking to a very special guest who has gone on to work with Noel Gallagher off the back of doing it himself as well. Neil, we will catch up on the next one. Ciao, ciao for now.
Bye.